Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Lance White. He's a courtmaster at the Washoe County District Court Family Division. Plus, we'll talk to attorney Shannon Pierce. She's a director at Fenimore Craig. That's the show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome for the first time Lance White. He's a family court master and the Second Judicial District and is what is referred to as a magistrate judge. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you for having me.
So your business is domestic violence and civil protection orders. Let me ask you this as a starter. Are you seeing less of an issue with domestic violence since the recession is over, or have things not changed?
Unfortunately, it's remained about the same. And in fact, I think there's been a slight uptick, and I credit that to people becoming more aware of what options they might have.
In terms of?
Where they can go to get help, that civil protection orders are even available, and encouragement from people that may know about services available.
Where do most of your cases come from? Do they come from nonprofits in the community that funnel them toward your court, or is it just word of mouth?
Most of them come from word of mouth off the street. And we have a victim advocate's office on the third floor of the family court. That's not a part of the family court, but they're located there. And those folks provide information, and they also help them fill out paperwork in order to receive a civil protection order.
And for those of us listening in Southern Nevada to this program, you're based in Reno.
Correct.
What are most of the cases predicated on? What are the causes of domestic violence, if you can put them into categories? Can you give us the top three categories, say?
I can. The first category, by percentage, is the typical romantic relationship, whether it be a significant other or a marriage. It is the biggest percentage by percentage, but it's not as big as you might think. That's followed closely by adults and their adult children. This one is surprisingly large, and these are typically issues of where the adult child is living with the adult, often a senior, and the adult child has drug and alcohol issues. And the daughter or son is providing care for their parent, and there's violence in the home. And then we also have cases involving family members. I know we just got done with Thanksgiving, and so there might be a little uptick in that, but that does unfortunately happen. Cousins and nieces and nephews and whatnot.
Is money at the root of this?
Money is at the root of a lot of people's inability to leave a situation. I don't believe that the lack of money is what necessarily causes the situation. It can exacerbate it, and lack of it also prevents people from leaving. And so that is often a reason we don't see people leave these types of relationships when objectively they should.
So when you look at this, obviously there are no easy answers to any situation like this. But are there root causes that can be approached by the state, by local government, by the courts, towards preventing this?
I think the biggest problem is perception. I think the perception is if someone is in a relationship that's violent, they should just leave. And if they don't leave, it's their fault, and therefore they need to suffer the consequences of their decision. That's inaccurate. If these people lack the resources to leave, they lack childcare, they lack an automobile, they lack housing, they are much more unlikely to leave. And often they remain for the children. As absurd as that might sound to someone that's not in such a relationship, they fear for the safety of their children more by going out of the home and not having a home, not having resources, than they do by remaining in a home where domestic violence occurs.
How much assistance do you get from the Committee to Aid Abused Women?
Well, they're a resource for victims generally, and that means that they explain to them the court process, they explain to them the options that are there, they provide, in certain cases, resources for housing and other assistance. And so they are definitely a partner in the process, but as the court, we have to remain neutral, whether the person is alleged to have committed an act of domestic violence or whether the person is alleged to have suffered an act of domestic violence.
In Southern Nevada, they're just celebrating their 10th anniversary as a group called Noah's Animal House. They're in the process of opening a facility here in Reno that hopefully will be finished in sometime within the next year. And the reason for them to exist is that there are people that will not leave a domestic violence situation because there's not a shelter that they can go to where they can take a pet. How much of a problem do you see this being with people not being able to get out of that relationship because of an attachment to an animal, and then they have no place to go because these shelters won't take animals?
I think it's a huge problem, and I know that it wasn't a part of the domestic violence vernacular until just recently, relatively recently. And in these cases, people stay because of children, and people often stay because of pets, because one of the ways or one of the signs that someone is a domestic violence perpetrator is that they have been cruel to animals, is probably the best way to put it. And it is often a signal, a sign that something is not right in the home. And these people that own the animals know that if they were to flee and leave the animal, there might be consequences to the animal. It's not simply having your companion with you. It's they are aware that if they leave their dog or their cat, that this person will take advantage of that and do something to that animal.
All right, let's take a break. More on the topic when we come back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Lance White. He's a courtmaster here at the Washoe County District Court Family Division. You contacted me to discuss this topic, which I was really pleased about because I think it's a very important topic. What's the message you most want to get out to the public about what you do and what the court does?
The biggest thing that people don't know about the court is that you can come and you can receive the relief you need relatively quickly. If you are in a domestic violence situation, you can come to the court and the court can issue an order for you relatively quickly. Just about every other aspect of the law of the court, specifically, if you are asking for help, it takes a while. If you're asking for a court to award you a car or give you a divorce, it takes a while. Whereas in the domestic violence realm, the court is able to issue a protection order for you within hours. It's not a week process. It's not a month process.
What's the difference, for example, between what you do and family court?
Well, unfortunately, domestic violence is a part of a great many cases in the family court as a whole, but the family court focus on divorce issues, custody issues, juvenile delinquency and dependency issues. And so that is the focus of their docket. The focus of my docket is primarily the domestic violence issues. However, in my court, I am able to and often issue orders regarding custody and visitation. And these orders can be in place for up to a year. So custody can be changed and affected for a very long time. And often folks that need a custody order don't get one. And the only order they have is what they receive in the domestic violence court.
Without obviously naming specific cases, give me a couple of examples of things that just surprise the heck out of you in front of your court.
The biggest surprise were the adult children living with their older mother and father. It was surprising how often that happened. What also was surprising was that the people that were suffering from domestic violence, that were victims of domestic violence, really spanned the spectrum of socioeconomic backgrounds. So,
well, we've seen billionaires, literally, especially female billionaires, being taken advantage of in this manner.
Absolutely. And you don't really appreciate that till you see it. And so I have stopped having those sorts of preconceptions about what a victim of domestic violence looks like, because often the people that have the most esteem in the community are the least likely to come in. And so when they do, it's an opportunity to provide them the kind of protection that they need.
So if somebody's in this situation, they don't have money for an attorney, who do they turn to be able to get to your court and be able to work their way through the system and get the protection they need?
Well, again, on the third floor, there's a group, the advocates, victim advocates office, and they first go there to fill out their application for an order. If the order is granted, then a representative from that group will come with them and sit with them during the hearing. And for a lot of people, that's a huge deal. And so I do see lawyers in my court on both sides. However, I think the nature of the process doesn't make it a requirement. I think the best cases are those cases that the person is honest and clear and explains what happens and brings evidence that they might have. And so they have an advocate there sitting by them in court. And for a lot of people, that's a huge thing because court is intimidating as well. And so they're there for that purpose.
You know, in your presentation, your appearance, your tone of voice, you're very cool, calm, and collected.
Thank you.
What things make you angry in your courtroom?
That's easy. The worst part of this job is when the evidence isn't there to make a decision that in your gut you know is the right one, but I have to make a decision based on evidence. And so there will often be times when there isn't the evidence to reach the outcome that I think anybody watching would feel is the right one, but I don't have that luxury. So as I rule for often the party that is alleged to have committed the violence, when there's that, how do I put it, frivolousness, jocularity from that person as they leave the courtroom, saying, thanks, judge, great, thank you, have a great day. And I can tell that they're very, very happy when I know that because of lack of evidence, a different result was reached than that probably would have been had we had all the evidence.
Well, it's a tough job. I can't imagine what it's like to sit there day after day and go through all these cases. Just a horrible situation, but we appreciate you for what you do.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for reaching out to be on the program. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome to the program Shannon Pierce. She is a director with the law firm of Fenimore Craig, dealing with sexual harassment claims. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
So I wanted to start out by making a statement that, you know, for mainly men, but even for women, if the accusation is made, somebody's already guilty, whether it goes to court or not. What's your thoughts on this situation?
That is a huge concern, both in companies right now and in, as we're seeing it play out in Hollywood. You look at some of the actors that have been accused. Some of them have admitted their wrongdoing, and some of them have said, no, I didn't do it, and want a chance to be heard rather than being tried in the court of public opinion. The same is true in workplaces right now. Everybody's scared that they're not going to get a chance to defend themselves against accusations that are false.
And there's a huge story that came out by the time we air this, it'll be a couple of weeks ago, in the New York Times about the Ford Motor Company and a couple of their plants in the Chicago area. And some of the stories were just stunning. Are you familiar with that piece?
I am, and it's been a little bit shocking to see the allegations. And yet at the same time, just hearing the allegations come forward, it's important not to rush to judgment. We haven't seen the full facts play out yet.
So going back to my original premise here, so what is the average person supposed to do to put themselves in a defended position rather than just having to deal with whatever comes out?
Well, you know, there's a lot of ways that individuals who are working for a company can protect themselves. If they, let's say, for example, that I'm accused of misconduct in the workplace. One of my colleagues comes forward and says, I don't like the way you handled things. One great way that I can show my innocence is to go to HR and report myself and say, hey, this is something that's been said about me. Please investigate me because I don't want my actions to be misinterpreted. There's other common sense things we can do, too. If you are somebody who's in a position of management who it needs to issue discipline to somebody, consider bringing along another member of management to sit in and serve as a witness to the meeting. Where there's a witness, there's evidence in your favor.
You know, one of the things that has been brought up is that, you know, where are we heading with all of this, do you think? I mean, it seems to be, obviously, is a big cultural change in our country, but you know, are we suddenly going to see people wearing clothing from head to toe like burkas, so that there's no thought that anybody could be making an observation? How do you deal with questions of fashion and things like that?
You know, I certainly hope we're not getting to the point where we can't compliment somebody on their appearance. and that we expect people to be the most conservative versions of themselves. I mean, people are going to dress the way they're going to dress. Right now, we're in a period of sensitivity where things could very easily get misinterpreted just because sexual harassment is on the forefront of everyone's minds. So when in doubt, avoid the comment altogether. But my hope is that in time, when these news headlines start to die down, that we will return to a sense of normalcy where people can act appropriately, where they can compliment you on your haircut or a nice sweater or what have you without crossing the line. We need to strike a balance. You know, 30, 40 years ago, we were very much on the wrong side of the balance where women would come to work and would be subjected to conduct that was inappropriate and should never have happened. We're finding out now that that's a little more rampant than we had hoped. We had hoped that we as a society had moved on from that, and we're finding, at least in Hollywood, that there's still some work we need to do. So both sides need to sort of come to the middle here. On the one hand, we just can't have inappropriate comments directed towards women, towards men, towards anyone in the workplace. But on the other hand, my hope is that over time, the sensitivity will die down so that comments can truly be construed as they're intended. If you give a compliment, it should be taken as a compliment and nothing more.
Do you think that we're at the beginning, the middle, or close to the end of this?
I think we're more towards the beginning. Oftentimes when these events start to surface, it encourages others to report. And let me be clear on that. It encourages people to honestly report, and it also encourages less than honest accusations to come forward. It's going to take a while to parse through all of those and to develop a culture and a sense of awareness that enables companies to deal with the claims that actually have happened and also to deal with the ones that are being made up. It's just going to take some time.
Are you surprised, especially with the public figures that have been accused that have not disclaimed the fact that these events took place?
Yeah, I am personally quite surprised at some of the ones who have not disclaimed it. But I've also taken notice of the ones who have disclaimed it. I believe Jeremy Piven is a Hollywood key figure who has flat out denied doing anything wrong. I believe Ryan Seacrest as well has done so as well. And the important thing here is that if people are going to either admit it or not deny it, then great, we can reach our own conclusions about those people. But those who are denying it, let's give them a chance to be heard rather than rushing to judgment about them.
Is there a benefit? I mean, obviously you're a lawyer, so I would expect you to say yes, but I mean, is there a benefit that if you are accused and whether you're guilty or not, that you should hire legal help right away?
Yeah, I mean, both from self-interest and from common sense perspective, yes, if you're accused, if a company is accused, the company needs to be guided by counsel. If you're an individual that's been accused, do you need to retain counsel? Maybe, maybe not. It depends on the facts. But I would make sure that if you are an individual working for a company that and you are accused of sexual harassment or sexual misconduct, cooperate with the company's legal counsel and HR departments to make sure that the company can conduct an appropriate investigation that gets to the bottom of it.
Shannon Pierce with Fenimore Craig, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. I'm sorry we didn't have more time today, but we can come back and revisit this maybe in a couple of months.
Well, thank you very much.
And we'll be right back.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
One of the best ways to get Nevada Newsmakers is via podcast. You can get it from iTunes or Stitcher. Just search for Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next show.